Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Leadership Focus, an internet radio show geared to everyday leadership, both at work and throughout your life. Each week, we present you with new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. I'm your host, Lisa Pospyork, Executive Coach and CEO of Focus Coaching, a leadership coaching and training firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Tonight, our topic is Lead for Good, Building Strong Leadership Where the Need is the Greatest. And my guest tonight is Karen Ramsey. Karen is the president and CEO of Lead for Good, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping individuals become great nonprofit leaders. Karen has an impressive background herself in human resources leadership. She's been the vice president of human resources at a Fortune 500 company. She's run her own company successfully for 8 years, and she's chaired many boards for nonprofit organizations. She holds a BA in economics, and she has a master's in communications. And in addition to her role at Lead for Good, she facilitates the leadership and mentoring program for the Organization for Nonprofit Executives, which is ONE, Organization for Nonprofit Executives, which I thought was a great acronym. Welcome, Karen. It's good to have you here.
Thanks, Lisa. Yeah. I appreciate being here.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking forward to it. So, Karen, tell me just a little bit about Lead for Good.
Well, our vision is that every nonprofit organization thrives with great leadership. And the idea is that we want to bring, to go back to what you were saying about your show, that it's that sort of everyday leadership approach, that we want to bring practical tools to the nonprofit community so that the nonprofit leaders can do a better job implementing their missions.
Yeah. And you know, because we've talked a little bit before about this, how near and dear this is to my heart, having run a couple of nonprofits. Important work, really, really valuable work, and work that deserves support and the kinds of resources that leaders in other private sector organizations have. So how long has Lead for Good been around?
Well,
is it a new organization?
Yes, we're brand spanking new.
How exciting.
Yeah, we just got our 501c3 designation at the end of last year. Yep. Mm-hmm. And we have a wonderful board of directors, and so we are implementing we've created our strategic plan, and we're in the implementation phase. Right now, we are just doing work in the Phoenix, Arizona area, a little bit in Tucson in Arizona as well, but our intention is to do this throughout the world.
How exciting. So you're based in the Phoenix area,
right,
but you're planning on doing work all over the U.S. and then internationally as well.
That's right.
Are you doing any work outside of the Phoenix area yet, or is that something you're moving into since you're at kind of the beginning?
We're really at the beginning. There are
okay.
several partners who we've identified and we're talking to about providing products and services that help the nonprofits in their communities, mostly through coaches, because they are the ones who get clear on what the gaps are with some of the leaders who work in the nonprofit community. It's interesting what I've found in the last 9 years or so working with nonprofits is they are wonderful people with great passion about the work they're doing. It's just unfortunate that they usually put themselves last in terms of development. And so while they might invest some money in their staff to get some training, they really don't invest in themselves. So they just have not had exposure to things that the rest of us take for granted when we work in the private sector.
Sure. So what are some of the services that Lead for Good provides or you envision them providing as you move along and grow?
Well, right now, in our relationship with the Organization for Nonprofit Executives, that great ONE acronym, We're mm-hmm. offering a personality profiling instrument that matches a mentor and a mentee. We do a 360 feedback that's based on competencies that we've identified as being important in the nonprofit community. And then we help create development plans and provide coaching to support them in executing their development plans over time. And then we also offer all kinds of learning opportunities that are, you know, that meet the specific needs for nonprofit leaders, stuff that you wouldn't necessarily find elsewhere.
Yeah. So, Karen, I know you're a coach yourself. How does that help you in this role?
Oh, my goodness.
I have some ideas, but tell me how you see it helping you the most.
Yeah. I think the best part is being able to listen to wants, needs, and concerns of the folks I'm working with and trying to figure out ways to support them or to find resources to support them.
Yeah.
I'd say that's the biggest way.
Sure, sure. Great. So backing up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I know you've had a long career and an impressive career, but what was your journey like and how did you end up here with, I mean, I can hear the smile in your voice, the energy in your voice when you talk about this organization. And it's obvious it's a passion for you, but what led you to this spot? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I was working in the private sector in a very large organization. At one point I had a staff of 1,100 that was indirectly reporting up to me. And
that's big.
Yeah, it's big. And, you know, the thing is you work a lot of hours when you have those kind of responsibilities. And my son was going into sixth grade, and he was really struggling and was at a turning point where he needed to have a parent more accessible than I was being. So I made the choice, followed my heart, and made the choice to leave the private sector. But I knew I wasn't done. There was still something I needed to contribute to the world. So I used some of my own coaching tools to figure out where is my passion? Why do I exist and what can I contribute? And so while I was spending quite a bit of my time with my son, I also was able to start working with nonprofit community, different groups over a period of time and did strategic planning, which is what I did in the private sector, among other things, and doing this coaching and mentoring stuff. So it really was just following my heart and deciding to do, you know, I wake up every morning and I'm excited to do the work I'm doing. So it's taken a while to realize that I needed to have my own nonprofit, and I needed to create a 501c3 so that this work could be affordable and accessible to all leaders, not just leaders who are in larger organizations.
Sure, sure. Karen, I'm so glad you brought that up, and I really appreciate and honor you sharing that with us. And it's part of the focus of the show, an incredible leader with a more balanced life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, clearly in following your heart, you made decisions about what was important to you and how you needed to be available and to whom at that time in your life. And look where it took you, you know, look where it led you. It's so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm a firm believer that if you follow your heart, it will take you to the right place. That this was a tough decision because I don't know about you, but I grew up with the thinking that, you know, you are what you do, and a measure of success is financial. And I am not doing this at all for financial gain. It's really because I want to be able to make a difference in the world, and I would like to share some of the gift I've received around leadership.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And I think people get a lot of shoulds about what you should be doing, and what you should be following. But if it's not your heart, you're not going to have that, I want to jump out of bed in the morning and do it.
Right.
That's great. So from your perspective, what's the difference between a private sector leader and a nonprofit leader? You've been in both roles. You've seen a lot of people in both roles.
Mm-hmm.
What's different?
Well, there are a lot of similarities. One of the things I've noticed is that nonprofit people get sort of missed if you liken them to a for-profit business. So I try really hard not to say they're the same. And there really are some
there really are some
differences. One is how success is measured, that for a private sector organization, they're looking at profitability, and nonprofits are looking at social impact.
Mm-hmm.
I think going back to what we talked about a few minutes ago, the motivation is different, that primarily in the private sector, it's about money, and I think in the nonprofit community, it's about making a difference.
Yeah.
And the leadership actually is some different. When you work in the private sector, you have that executive power where you can say if you don't like what somebody's doing or you're frustrated with somebody who is in your group, then you could just let them go. I mean, you got to go through the proper channels to do that, but you can just let them go. When you are a nonprofit leader, you really don't have that luxury because most of your constituents are volunteers.
Yeah.
And so you have your board that's a volunteer, and a lot of staff members, they don't make a lot of money. And so while they're sort of pseudo-volunteers because they're not doing it for the money. They're doing it because they care about the mission of the organization. And so it's different. You have to share that leadership and delegate and give people opportunities to learn and not be a directive leader. So that's where I spend a lot of my time helping nonprofit leaders be successful.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So who is your typical client then? Is the client the organization, the board? Is the client directly the individual? How do you work with nonprofit leaders? And then among those, what would be your typical client that you would want to work with or see Lead for Good working with?
Well, I would say that the typical client is the CEO or executive director of a small to medium-sized nonprofit organization, where they haven't had the luxury of having any kind of leadership development. I had the privilege of going through an executive development program when I was in the private sector. And so that is the kind of program we're trying to create for these small to mid-sized EDs. But as a result, we're also working with the board because it's helping to clarify roles of the ED and the board, helping the board govern, in a strong way. But that they're not our primary focus.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also work with up-and-coming leaders, folks who are ready, poised and ready to move into an ED role but just haven't had that luxury of the development to be ready to step into that bigger job.
That must be fun to work with that group.
Oh, it's delightful. Delightful. A lot of energy and enthusiasm.
Sure. Good. Are there particular clients that are more well-suited than others to utilize these kinds of services? Is there a profile that works well?
Oh, that's a good question. A couple years ago, I would have said it's the newer executive directors.
Mm-hmm.
But I am finding that some of the most seasoned senior, 15, 20 years as an ED, that a lot of those folks have just been winging it, and that they have benefited greatly because they have so much wisdom from their experiences that they are very receptive coming up with new and better ways to communicate effectively, or to delegate more appropriately and put in place some accountability so that they can be clear with their the folks they work with what the expectations are. And you know, they've been missing those tools, for basic tools. They've been missing them for their whole career, so they're really receptive to making the changes.
How interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It must have something to do with your approach, Karen, that they're not defensive or are more receptive than you would think if they've been doing it and doing it successfully for 15 or 20 years. You must have a pretty attractive offer that you're making them, or interesting approach.
Well, it's as a coach, you know, I'm holding people creative, resourceful, and whole to come up with their own solutions. And so I'm just supporting them with, they tell me, you know, I'm so frustrated because I have to do everything. I have no life because I'm attending 4 or 5 events every week, and I have to follow up with everybody because it affects our brand if we're not providing outstanding customer service. And so the issue at that point is really about them being comfortable with sharing their leadership and delegating to others and clarifying the vision and mission so that everybody understands how they contribute to the overall mm-hmm. success of the organization and what specifically they can do, what measurable something they can do to contribute to the overall success. So I just help them deliver on what it is they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I hear in your voice as you talk about it, your appreciation for them and what they do and what they have done. So that comes through even as you're talking about it, so they must be hearing that too.
So they are amazing people, for sure.
Yeah. So where do you get the money to do this? Where do the financial resources come from?
Ooh, well,
the big question.
That's the big question. The way it's set up right now and the relationship we have with One, most of our funding has come from the corporate sector because for them, this is old news. It's no innovative thing to have executive development. All, you know, relatively large private sector organizations do that on a regular basis. So most of our money has come actually from American Express. They have a very strong focus on leadership. And so they've been extremely supportive. We've also gotten support from Wells Fargo Bank. They also have an emphasis on leadership. And then the rest comes from foundations. And they're a little more skeptical because this, in the nonprofit sector, is sort of a new approach. While it's been around for 20-plus years, right, but it's a new approach in the nonprofit sector. So we're having to demonstrate results, impact, which we're able to do. And so I think the money will become easier to come by as we're able to demonstrate how this has made a difference in people's lives. In fact, one of the people who went through the program last year, we still stay in touch. She says that this learning really did change her life, that she went from a situation where she was so stressed that she was actually having a rocky time with her husband, and she was not spending any time with her 2 children. She went from that situation to she feels like her life is now balanced.
Wow.
She was thinking about leaving that job because it was so difficult to answer to her family and to her job. And so by implementing some of the things we worked on, like the clarity on what the expectations are, creating a strategic plan that had specificity around who was doing what by when, by delegating and then having a follow-up system, all those things really made a difference for her, and it was good that it happened because her daughter ended up being quite ill, and was in the hospital on and off for several months. And she just knows that she would have fallen apart had she not worked this out so that she could be there for her daughter.
It's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
And I know that woman. I know many people who are in those roles. They care so deeply. And, you know, those jobs can just suck the life out of you. They can take everything out of you. Yeah.
In fact, one of the studies I read recently said that a lot of Gen Xers are not particularly interested in becoming executive directors of nonprofits because they watch their bosses who work themselves to death. They're mostly baby boomers. And so it's not an appealing job because there isn't enough life balance.
You know, I'm looking at our time here. We have literally have 9 minutes left.
Oh, my goodness.
And I have a big list of questions. So, you know, I want to make sure we get to several things, but we could go on with this. It's very interesting, and I'm sure you have a number of other stories that I'd love to hear. If I were a CEO of a nonprofit or perhaps a board member listening now, how could I get more information about or how could I access services?
Well, as I said, we're new. So our website is still a little fresh and wet, you know, behind the ears. But we do have a website. It's called leadforgood.org, leadforgood.org. And you can access some information there. Certainly, it has contact information so that if people would like to either talk to me or talk to others in our organization, that's certainly a possibility. And then one of the things I wanted to let you know is I'm in the process of finishing a book that talks about the 7 key competencies that leaders of nonprofit organizations should have in order to be successful.
Good. Do we have a few minutes? Could you go through those?
Sure. I'll try to go through time? Quickly because I know we're kind of short on time.
Yeah.
The first one is that folks should be clear on their personal mission and vision and make sure that when they get up in the morning, they're doing what it is they want to do, that they should invest in themselves and the others whom they work with.
Karen, can I interrupt you for a minute?
Sure.
Is there some way people could get this list? Because I know we're going to zip through it.
Absolutely. It is on the website, and it's available at no charge. Yep. In fact, we've got a little spot where you can just request to get this list.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah, since we're going through it so quickly.
Okay. So we'll repeat the website at the end, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So the third one is that people need to think strategically. So aligning the vision, mission, strategies, and values of the organization. Inspire others. And for me, what I've found is a lot of that is tied to effectively communicating and involving people in the process and empowering them to do good work. It's sharing leadership, which we already talked about. That, to me, is a core competency that people need to have to be an effective leader. And number 6 on my list is building strong relationships, both internally and externally. In this day and age, you really need to be collaborative in your approach in order to get funding from nonprofit, foundations that support nonprofit organizations. They're looking for collaborative efforts to leverage their dollars. And then the final one is achieve results. It used to be in the old days that you could say, well, we saw 2,700 patients and gave them a spirometer test, and that would be enough data to make the funder happy that they had done it. But now you have to talk about impact and what is the transformation that happened as a result of the work you're doing. And so if you can effectively do that, then you are a great leader.
And
so those are the 7.
People in administration programs in social work, schools of social work, are not getting the training about how to do that kind of measurement.
Mm.
It's not there. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, as a leadership competency, the more organizations, nonprofit organizations, can be good at demonstrating what they're doing and how effective they are, the easier it is for them to develop resources and keep those resources coming. So that's really
good. I totally
agree.
Yep. Yeah. There are funders here now who just won't even consider an application unless it has some specific impact information included. Yeah.
Sure. They want to know about real results. They're looking for data. They're looking for, the word I think is metrics now that they're
metrics. You got it.
Yep. Great. So when will the book be out? You said you're writing a book. Is it close to being out? Do you have an anticipated publishing date?
Well, I'm hoping to have it out by the end of 2010. So it's not imminent. The outline's written, two chapters are written. What I find is I'm continuing to discover resources that I want to include. So it's a labor of love, yes. The good news is it's the second book I've written, so I have some experience with, you know, where to cut it off and how to put it together. So it's really going to be a field guide with specific tools people can use as they need them to, say, be more of an inspirational leader. People talk about that. Jim Collins talks about that.
Sure.
Forces for Good talks about it. But that's the what, not the how. And so I think it's real important to share how can you become more of an inspirational leader, for example, or a strategic thinker.
Well, you know I'll be wanting to read that when it comes out.
Great. Well, I'm happy to give you a copy.
I'll
even sign it for you.
Well, that would be great. That would be great. So it sounds like there are a number of things that would be useful to you in this mission and in achieving this vision. You know, I'm hearing that corporate sponsorships would be great. I'm hearing that people contacting you for information and how you can begin to spread this around not just the country but the world would be great. What about volunteers and that kind of support? Do you need that?
I think eventually we would love to have volunteers. We're still in the startup phase, but as time goes on, absolutely, we would love to have volunteers who really are passionate about leadership development, helping us to spread the message, sharing these resources, because we very much believe in that abundance mentality that, you know, our vision really is that every leader is a great leader. So whether it's paid for or it's not paid for, our intention is to spread the tools so that everybody has access to them.
Great. Well, that's a great closure. Let's end this here. Karen, this has been really fast and really fun, and I've enjoyed it. I know that there are people listening tonight that will want more information, so let's give them your website one more time.
Okay.
It's leadforgood, all one word, .org.
Correct.
Correct? Okay.
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
Spell out four, it's not the number.
Right. Leadforgood.org. Great. Thank you. It's been lots of fun.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity, Lisa.
You're welcome. So all of you listeners, thank you for joining us tonight on the Leadership Focus, the show which gives you new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. We hope that you've enjoyed the show, and if you have, please go to blogtalkradio.com and become a friend and make us a favorite. To sign up for our free newsletter with more tips and strategies you can use, go to focuscoaching.net on the web. Again, that's focusedcoaching.net on the web. Until next time, this is your host, Lisa Pasbjorg, urging you to be a better leader every day. Mm-hmm.